Morning, Liberty. Morning, friends. It's lovely to see some of your faces. Some of you didn't go and have a lovely long weekend. You are here, like all of us. But what a blessing it is to be part of this community. My lovely wife, Laura, is at the back somewhere. My two kids, Lily and Judah. And I've been a part of this body for quite a few years now. And certainly has been a blessing. And then it's been quite an interesting weekend. I don't know if you guys have been watching the Epic or that kind of stuff. But God's definitely dealing with me, definitely getting humbled. We went to a spectator site, and I was riding my bicycle, and I was having to go to each site. Wayne would know about these spectator sites because we also put up a coffee stand and stuff. And I'm going to each one. I'm trying to rush to get there. And there's this group that I kind of follow, the Scott team, and Nino, Shota, and them. And I'm getting my phone out, and I'm trying to follow them. It was quite unstructured, actually, a bit naughty. But they came through one of the exits, and it was just three of us. And I looked at the guy, and he said, "No, you can go through." And I wanted to get this image of me riding behind Nino, Shota, and get my camera out and loaded and be all special and look at me. But got humbled, and as I'm riding on a flat surface, and I don't fall much, I took my phone out and had the gnarliest fall ever. Didn't get the image I wanted, and the guy behind me was on an e-bike, and he nearly decapitated me. So I've got scars on my legs, but it's to do with our nature, and I'll get into that just now. But let's start with scripture, and let's kick this off. I am preaching on Galatians 3, verses 1 to 14, and just bringing in again what Glenn and Matt and Johnny have preached is this intensity behind the gospel, this new gospel, this gospel that it's a different gospel. And we know that, I mean, I think Paul wrote, 13 of the books nearly. So it's big, it's impacted him, it's made a big impression on him, and he's furious. So we've seen this, and it's been echoed through this book. So I'm just going to try and echo and highlight a few of the stuff, and hopefully you will catch a glimpse of how great Christ is. So let's start. Galatians 3, verses 1 to 14. "You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Before your very eyes, Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed as crucified. I would like to learn just one thing from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by believing what you heard? Are you so foolish? After beginning by means of the Spirit, are you now trying to finish by means of the flesh? Have you experienced so much in vain, if it really was in vain? So again I ask, does God give you Spirit and work miracles among you by works of the law or by your believing what you heard? So also Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Understand then that those who have faith are children of Abraham. Scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles, us, by faith and announce the gospel in advance to Abraham. All nations will be blessed through you. So those who rely on faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. For all who rely on the works of the law are under a curse. It is written, 'Cursed is everyone who does not continue to do everything written in the book of the law.' Clearly, no one who relies on the law is justified before God, because the righteous will live by faith. The law is not based on faith. On the contrary, it says the person who does these things will live by them. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, 'Cursed is everyone who is hung on a pole.' He redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit." I'm going to try and go through three topics. The middle one's a little bit interesting. It deals with us. So there's a lot in there. So it's pretty much who has bewitched you, the problem with the flesh, and Christ the fulfillment. I just want to recap on Paul's journey. Remember now, Paul was a scholar of the word. I mean, he knew the word. He loved the word. He was one of those guys that in your class you just get so irritated by because he just knows everything. But something creeps in with these type of people. Front of the class, the roaring scenes of everyone praising. It just keeps going more and more. I mean, Paul's whole goal was to be the best. He's not going middle group. He's going first. He's going full out. He's giving everything. But something happened to Paul's walk. And we read about it in Acts 9, verse 1 to 9. I'm not going to read the whole thing. Paul encounters Jesus. The men traveling with Paul were speechless. I mean, these guys have personalities. These are tough guys. They were left speechless. I don't know if you guys have seen the movie Happy Gilmore. Forgive me for mentioning this movie, but it just came up when I was preparing this. There's this guy called Shooter McGavin, and he's playing golf this whole time, but there's this irritating noise, this voice that is just annoying him to miss everything. And in one moment, this guy turns around and tells this guy, "Shut up, stop doing this." But as he looks up, this guy's so big, he cripples, he falls short, and he's speechless. That's the impression that God made on Paul. That's the impression that this guy made on him. Christ makes himself known. Christ comes to Paul, and Paul's heart starts to change. Scripture gives us this head knowledge, but Christ comes and changes your heart. Big difference. You've got this knowledge, but there's this heart that's getting changed. If you think about the best heart surgeon in the world, it's Christ. So what's your experience with God been like? Was it a revelation from Scripture and studying the Bible, the Holy Spirit became real to you? Was it an answer to prayer? Have you been just asking God to be real to you, make himself known to you? I was young, I was very young, and I was always asking God, "Please just touch me. I want to feel your presence." And I didn't stop for years. I would just sit in my lounge and just ask God to reveal himself to me. And then when I was in London, he did reveal himself. And then I told him to get off me because I thought I was going to die. But he made a big impression on me. Have you been tired of religion and wanted something more, perhaps? But it's by grace through faith, in Ephesians 2 verse 8 says. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and it is not from yourselves, it is a gift from God. Paul wasn't seeking to hear from Jesus. He wasn't on a quest to fast and pray and get answers. He was overly confident. He wasn't wondering if maybe his walk is wrong. And this is the problem when you're top of the class. Nothing can shake you. You're not going to fail. You are on this road and you're getting puffed up. He was puffed up and he was ready to kill in God's name. How can you be wanting to kill people if this God is so wonderful? But we read that Paul is changed instantly. And that's the thing with Christ. He comes and he does things instantly. It's an instant change. And so he doesn't stop. He's got all this going on. He says, "You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you?" Bewitched. The Greek word is baskino, and it's also pronounced bavkav. Forgive me. It's not my dialect. Which means to be charmed, influenced, or deluded, often implying being under an evil influence or spell. Anyone been under a spell here? Maybe someone charmed you into doing something before, or even coming here today, and bless them if they did. You see, people can influence you in doing many things. Drugs, alcohol, smoking. Something you don't want to do. It's peer pressure. You can have this great experience with God, but someone or something can change your mind. Did God say you mustn't eat of that? Sound familiar? Maybe you've been in love with someone before, but everyone was telling you, "Listen, I'm not the right person. This is definitely, this is wrong." You couldn't hear them because you are so in this trance. You're so bewitched. You've been so charmed. You just can't get out of it. Paul is using this language that you're in this kind of, someone's charmed you, someone's put you in a trance, and you can't get out. The kids, yeah, have you ever seen The Jungle Book, the kids' version, where you've got Mowgli on the tree, and you've got the snake that comes, and it tries to put Mowgli on in a spell, and he uses this hypnosis type of a thing. And Mowgli is now doing everything the snake wants to do. But you've got the tiger that comes and rescues Mowgli and takes the snake right out of the picture. I think in a weird way, this is what was happening in the church. You've got these people coming in, trying to put you under a spell, trying to hypnotize you, trying to shape your mind. You need to snap out of it. Sometimes you need a brother, like the tiger, to come and just shake you. Stop your stinking thinking. Stop your thinking. Where have you come from? You were doing so well. You're on this path. But someone came with craftiness. Someone came with this mirage. Someone came and massaged you. And you've gone astray. You need to snap out of it. Iron sharpens iron. That's why we are here, because we're sharpening. We're watching over people. We're looking against the wolves that are coming in. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by hearing of faith? As much as Christ reveals himself, we need the faith to receive him. We read in Hebrews that it is impossible to please God without faith. Abraham, the man of faith, getting asked to pack up and leave and go to a country that is completely, he hasn't even seen it. Imagine that. Imagine God coming to you. You've just settled. You've just got your kids in school. You've just got your Virgin Active account. You've paid your golf subscription, mountain bike. And God says, get up, leave, go to India. That is faith. That is trust. Could it go wrong? Maybe. Could we lose it all? Maybe. Could we face persecution? Maybe. Could we face death? Maybe. Could we be mocked and spat on? Maybe. But when the risk meets the reward, it's a special feeling. There's a lot of business people, yeah, there's a lot of people that when you take a risk, it can go wrong. You are really playing your cards and you're trusting that this thing plays off. But when it plays off, and the risk happens and it's met, what a joy you have. You are screaming, you are shouting, you are thanking the Lord, you are saying, I told you it worked. And that's what faith does. It brings this romance of more trust, of more love, of more trusting. But it also tumbles. And we start relying on ourselves again. Our riches, because you know God's helped you all the way. Now you actually got this house, you've got this money, you've got your credit cards, you've got all the cares of life. You start forgetting God. Like Peter mentioned, had this great experience, but now life, the charms, the people. But this, are you sure? Did you see this? Did you have some extra wine that night at communion? Maybe, you know, you've gone a bit. We start to look at what we can earn on our salvation. Matthew 6 verse 1 to 4 says, be careful not to practice your righteous deeds in front of people, for they have the reward. The Jews were looking to get rewards on earth. Those were the nice things. Those were the things that was feeding them. And when I was preparing this message, I was really stuck on this book. And then I do a lot of spinning classes to try and keep up with fit guys. He's here today, actually. And we've got Strava. You guys know Strava. You put all your stats on Strava, and you've got all your... I was really given it in this class, and I wanted to make sure that this thing, when it goes on Strava, it's going to be big. I was giving my watts, and I was pushing it, giving it all. And the weirdest thing happened. In the class, I was trying to just change something on my phone, and it didn't upload. And I was so annoyed, and I'm in this class, now I'm trying to fix this, I'm trying to sort this thing out, and didn't load. So I'm finished the class, I go home, it's like God is talking to me. You are so focused on yourself and the things, what people are going to see. You start worshiping yourself. You start loving people, are seeing stuff. Oh, look how strong, look how big he is. Look what he's getting noticed, flattered, praised, spoken well of. We love the praise. Why? The Hollywood stars, they just love being worshipped. There's nothing more special than this worship, this man, this guy that did this great thing. And I'm guilty. I mean, sometimes Facebook pages, Instagram, look at my life, look what I've been doing. Look what society, look at society and see, what are they thinking? Why? Why is this thing engraved in us? It's like we start trusting the training program and forgetting who actually gives you the strength and the grace for it. You start trusting in your efforts. We want people to notice us, talk about us. Simple thing, scoring a goal. It's innocent. Shame, man. You know, look at me. Look at me. I scored that. But sure, someone gave you that gift. Yeah, but look at me. How good am I? Look what I've done. Cool move on the surfboard. We're all guilty. I'm guilty. I hope someone saw that. I hope. Did you see that? No, sorry, we didn't. Yes, I'm angry. Hitting a good golf shot. Glenn loves this one. Just joking. Nothing better. Wow. Good on you, man. Good on you. Some of it's healthy. I'm not saying we're not some of it's healthy and we need that. But we need to just watch this beast. Because it infiltrates the church. It infiltrates you, and then you start my efforts. I want to do. Trust in me. That song from Mowgli, I was supposed to sing it, but I'm not going to. It's a trust in me issue. Nothing good with good old encouragement, but what are we encouraging here? Bible says, let another praise you, not on your own mouth. Oh, the Jews loved it. Loved the front seats. Paul was used to trusting in what he has done, his efforts, his accomplishment. This gospel is flipped over though now. It's flipped right on the side, and Paul is telling the Galatians who has bewitched you. The problem is that when we start trusting ourselves, we stop trusting Jesus. But why would you even trust in me, in Glenn, in Moose? Why? We're fallible, not infallible. We trust Jesus that's working in Glenn, that's doing a good work, and we're encouraging that. Man, you're doing so well, you're running so well. We look and marvel at the good work that Christ is doing in your attitude. You used to be like this. Look how you're changing your attitude in the character that God, the Holy Spirit, is producing in you. How do we walk out our faith? We walk by the Spirit. Galatians 5, verse 16. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. We now have grace, faith, and the Holy Spirit. It's a win-win situation. Paul says, what happened? You went from walking in the Spirit, but now back in the flesh. Are you so foolish? After beginning by means of the Spirit, are you now trying to finish by means of the flesh? Maybe Peter, as Glenn said last week, skipped a few quiet times, stop going to a few of those prayer meetings. Elijah calls fire from heaven. Picture that scene, calls fire from heaven, and then runs for his life after Jezebel comes for him. We are forgetful. We're forgetful when God came to you. You're forgetful for that experience. You're forgetful when you called down fire. You're forgetful when God did something for you. No, maybe it was an earthquake. Maybe it was just coincidence. Back to me. Second Timothy 3:1-2. People will be lovers of themselves in the end days. Even Paul had a thorn in his flesh because of the amount of revelation he was receiving. God knows how to keep you in check. He can't even give you too many revelations because you're just going to go bonkers. You're going to get puffed up. You're going to become prideful. Jesus was so secure in his identity, he didn't need the affirmation of people. He said, when he did America, don't tell anyone. It's so dangerous that disciples couldn't even pray when Jesus was at his most vulnerable in the Garden of Gethsemane. And now I must trust in the flesh to obey the law. This thing doesn't even want to pray properly. Your best friend's at his most need. He's about to die. And even when we pray, it's for self-gratification. You ask, but you do not receive because your motives are wrong. Or when we get on our knees at times and pray for God's will because we want our will. Are you seeing this body of ours, this flesh, that is self-gratification, that is sowing seeds of maybe God's not in the picture, maybe I'm the one, yeah, that needs to be looked at. Oh, what a rich man I am, Paul says. I try and do the things I want to do, but I don't do them. The scriptures are there. We live in a society, culture, where you go and be free. Go and be what you want to be. Left to ourselves, I'll probably be in jail now. Because the flesh is dangerous. Imagine telling your child to go and be free and do what you want. My parents normally got two phone calls, one from the hospital and one from the police. I won't tell you who was in trouble. John 2:23-25, not even Jesus entrusted himself unto man, for he knew what was in them. And that's the problem here. If we healed someone today, that miracle would be on Instagram, on Twitter, and we'd be the heroes of today. We'd be our own story. And I love how R.T. Kendall says, and all the angels in heaven would blush and look in silence while the King of Kings sits on his throne and you on your throne. It's a beautiful picture if you think about it. It's like you're in heaven and you've got one chance on earth and all the angels are can't wait. You're going to do this and give God glory. And in that moment, you put it on yourself and these angels are actually just blushing. God is put aside. What an embarrassing moment. Matthew 26:52-54. Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, do you think I cannot call on the Father and he will at once put at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels? Jesus didn't need to do that. He was following the Father's will. He didn't need to show off. He didn't need to be proud, puffed up. He was following the Father's will and trusting in the Father. Can you give all that you have and not tell anyone? Like, tell no one. That takes faith. That takes trust. That takes belief that God is looking at you. The poor widow gave everything, and Jesus mentioned her. That's who you want to get mentioned by, not from the crowds. She gave everything. God knew her balance. God knows your balance. You don't need to remind him, but even though I do, just try and remind him sometimes. He is looking. He is seeing. He is seeing everything. We need to trust him. The Jews were all about self, self-achievement, self-respect, self-administration, front seats, look at me. Paul moved from a place of wanting to kill Christians to wanting not to die for the sake of Christians. Christ changes you. The law makes you puffed up. When Christ touches people's hearts, you want to lay down your life and serve people, not tell them to start serving. That comes naturally. These people had a different, these wolves, these people come in to filtrate, to bewitch you, to take your whole mindset away. You give without wanting anything back. You love unconditionally. You serve wholeheartedly. My walk was different. My walk was not the law. It was grace. So if the Jews came to me and said, Calvin, you need to, I would have said, you got the wrong guy. There's no ways I'll be able to follow that list. I need a shortcut. I need another way out. I wouldn't have that problem. I really needed grace. So if they came to you, which fence would you be on? I knew I was not okay. I knew that can we not find another way, please. Even if you gave me the answer sheet to the law, I wouldn't even pass it. We've got to know how sinful we are, but how loved we are. To whom much is forgiven, much loves. If you've committed a crime and somehow you got laid off, you would go home telling everyone your near escape. You would go shout. You would tell the judge, listen, can I buy you anything? Can I take you out? Can I do something for you? It's a near escape. Uncontrollable joy. That's the attitude I believe God wants us to have. You fall in love with Him with that attitude. You fall in love with Him because of that near escape. That I need you. Need Jesus. They didn't understand this, that guys that were trying to disrupt the church. They didn't understand this grace. They didn't understand this sinful nature of theirs. Paul understood his depravity of his sin. He understood he had a second chance. He understood that he owes God everything. He understood his life is now with God. Paul understand it's not his will anymore. It's God's will. So this gospel, after all these years, it suddenly makes sense. And this is why he's so upset, because he lived that life. It got him nowhere. And he doesn't want you to go on that path. It is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away our sins. So then, how do we live this thing out? We spoke about it in our soul group. No more festivals. No more feasts. No more sacrifices. Then what? Is it just cheap grace? Or is it just finished? What do? No, definitely not. If you've heard that message, you're wrong. It's not that. It's we follow Jesus and we become more like Him now. We look to Him, everything becomes clear. We realize that He is beautiful, and that's what makes us beautiful in this world. Not a religion, but a relationship. Not a rule book, but rather a reflection of His greatness and our fallenness. Coming to a close, we look at the man on the cross, the thief on the cross. That's his name. He had blown it big time. His time had run out. He didn't have a perfect score. He didn't have the moral compass to rely on. All he had was Jesus. He was out of hope, and trust was only in Jesus. But those that were in the crowds, shouting, screaming, moral compass is perfect. He knew how dirty he was and his grace. And God looked at that man, that thief on the cross, and said, today you'll be with me in heaven. It's not a shortcut. It's not cheap grace. It's trusting that you're so dirty. You're so far away from perfection. Your most righteous deeds are like filthy rags. Trust in me. I've walked this road. I'm the one that has replaced your sin. Jesus wants your heart. He wants you. Not this other stuff that just adds and adds and adds. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hung on a pole. He became that curse for you and I to fall in His grace. Can we take communion together? Father, we just thank you as we come to this place of realizing that, Lord, sometimes we want to be on the throne. Sometimes we want to be liked and worshipped and looked at, but ultimately, Lord, it gets us nowhere. Gets us the praise on earth, we'll get that reward, Lord. But we want our reward to be in heaven. That's lasting, that's everlasting, that's remembered forever and ever and ever. Forgive us if we've made ourselves pedestals and we've tried to be the most liked and put you aside, God. We repent of that. And we realize that you did the tough stuff. You did the stuff that we didn't do. Your Father looked at you and looked away because he knew that this is the only way to do it. Not through sacrifices anymore. Not through goats and bulls, but through his Son. And we don't take this lightly, Father. We realize that if it wasn't for you, Father God, we'd be in a lot of trouble. And thank you that you made a way out. Thank you that we can love you and by your Holy Spirit be pleased by you, Father God. So as we take this juice and this bread, we think of you as you went through that agonizing time, that rejection, that pain, the suffering, all to make a way for us, Lord. We thank you and we give you all the glory and we ask that we can make you famous till we see you one day. And where we become a little bit off path, we've got brothers and sisters that can sharpen us and be with us. Thank you that you looked at Paul. He had a bad record on other things, but you looked at him and you chose him. And you can choose anyone here. It's not about what we've done, what we haven't done. It's about what you've done. And if we can put our faith and trust in you and commit our lives afresh here and ask just to be with us, Father God, it is finished. We bless you and we give you all the glory in Jesus' name.